It's coffee week here on Morning Edition.
Coffee time. Let's listen to some jazz and rhyme and have a cup of coffee.
For those of you out there sipping coffee, chances are your cup of joe was brewed from beans that were hand-picked or processed by women. Women can be found at every point of coffee production. Often those jobs still leave them terribly poor. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports on efforts to change that.
When Margaret Swallow graduated from Harvard Business School back in 1979, she was hired by Procter & Gamble in Cincinnati to market the coffee that lots of us grew up with. Swallow was very successful. Coffee was profitable. But Margaret's job was an office job. She had no idea what life was like for people who grew coffee beans. She'd never been to the countries or farms that produced coffee. But as her career advanced, she got the chance to do this, and it changed her life.
We would go way off the beaten path, very remote areas, and Eastern Africa, Central America, and I recall being stunned by seeing children and women
who were picking the beans and processing the coffee, working long hours for very little pay. The poverty was crushing. Sometimes families didn't even have the basics, such as clean water or a stove to cook.
It makes you very sad.
Margaret came back, determined to do something. She teamed up with a friend named Karen Sobreros, who'd also built a successful career in coffee. And they decided to bring together a bunch of other powerful women working in the coffee industry. Karen had one idea.
What if we just took a busload, literally, of all women, and they saw the situation of how we're living so well in consumer countries and growers are really suffering?
She bet they'd want to push for change, too. Now, the first stop on the bus tour was a village in a coffee-growing region of Nicaragua.
Before we got off the bus, we saw the little schoolhouse that they were trying to build, and it had no roof, no doors, no windows, no floor, just a little facade, a chalkboard and no chalk. And within 10 minutes, we passed a hat around the bus, and we collected $500, and we handed it to them and said, here, would this help you finish your school? And of course it did.
But Sobrero says they all knew it was not a solution. It was just a Band-Aid.
It was just going to be a cycle of poverty over and over again.
The group of women on that bus knew that they needed to do something really different. You see, the reason coffee and poverty are so inextricably linked is because the people who do the backbreaking labor, hand-picking the beans, have always been many, many steps removed from us, the consumers who actually drink coffee. Their work is invisible to us. In the coffee supply chain, there are brokers, exporters, millers, roasters. And as each takes a little cut of the deal, precious little goes back to farm communities. Now, Karen and Margaret knew that to change things, the women farmers had to learn to set up coffee businesses. They needed direct access to brokers and buyers. They needed to learn to make the deals.
The idea is, don't give a man a fish or a woman a fish. Teach them to fish.
So what happened next is that they chartered a new organization, the International Women's Coffee Alliance. It's based on the Rotary Club model of local chapters. There are mentorship programs, opportunities for women to learn from each other and connect with key players along the supply chain. That was about a decade ago, and the organization was slow to start. But now there are 15 chapters from Kenya to Costa Rica. And this spring, hundreds of women gathered at a conference in Guatemala City.
We are ready to start the conference. Please, everyone join us on the second floor.
There were farmers, co-op managers, roasters, and importantly, buyers from the U.S.
Good to see you.
Huh? Yeah.
In a small tasting room, coffee exporter Loyrith Sosa pours samples of 8 coffees from different farms in Guatemala for buyers to taste. She gives each one a number.
El cinco. Number 5. You like it?
Sosa works for a family business in Guatemala City that's been handed down from father to son for generations. Now, she's the one stepping up to make deals.
Yes, this is 100% Bourbon coffee.
Very good coffee. I mean, very balanced, sweet.
Stephanie Bacchus is a buyer from Oregon. She's slurping and spitting the coffee to evaluate the characteristics of the beans.
I like all of these.
Yes, they are very good coffees.
Direct relationships like this between small growers, exporters, and roasters are part of the expanding world of specialty coffee. But here's the deal. More than two-thirds of all the coffee in the U.S. is marketed and sold by big corporations, giants like Kraft, McDonald's, as well as big institutional players who supply coffee to hotels, hospitals, and offices.
Coffee is a business of volume. You know, it's a $40 billion marketplace in the U.S., coffee.
That's corporate dealmaker Nancy Moore of Sausalito, California. And she believes it's time for women in coffee to get into this corporate space. And how? Well, she says there's Fair Trade Coffee, Rainforest Alliance certified. Why not create a women's harvest certification or brand?
Women's issues are very big right now.
Increasingly, big companies are making commitments to their shareholders to invest in sustainable and socially responsible projects. So Moore is calling on all her contacts in the corporate world to build support and launch a women's brand of coffee.
I brought in a team. Part of my team was the former head of Marriott North America.
And now they're in the process of launching a pilot with Marriott Hotels in the Caribbean. The coffee will come from women's cooperatives in Costa Rica. And once it's up and running, it means that as Marriott customers sip their coffee, a few more cents per pound will go directly back to the women who produced it.
What we're doing is facilitating change through social responsibility purchasing.
Initiatives like this won't change the lives of women coffee producers overnight, but Moore says they can over time. She points to studies that show there are differences between men and women entrepreneurs. Women tend to invest more profits back into their communities.
By building the women and empowering them economically, you're building the whole community.
Take, for instance, this farmer in Guatemala, Miguelina Villatoro.
Good morning.
She supports the school in her village.
Every year I do something for them. I try to help them.
So last spring, when the roof sprang a leak,
I helped them to fix up the ceiling over there.
Villatoro says it's one little step to building a stronger community. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
Miguelina's story was featured earlier this week, and if you missed it, you can find it by going to NPR's food blog, The Salt.